Hebrews 13:6. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Hebrews 13:6. And Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 16:18. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 16. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16. You see this verse on the screen before you. You see it on the back of today's bulletin. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16. In a few moments, we'll begin our reading in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, and then read down through verse 18. God gives to us many wonderful privileges. One of those privileges is the privilege we have right now of turning our attention away from the distractions of the world and focusing our minds upon the eternal Word of God. God's Word is alive and powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. We're responsible for hiding God's Word in our hearts that we might not be in disobedience to His plan. And that's what the Bible says. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Out of all the wonderful blessings which God has given, one of those is that God has given to us a system of learning. We call that the grace system of comprehension, which simply means that when we're in fellowship, when we're in harmony with our Lord, and the Word of God is being proclaimed, and we're listening attentively and carefully, it is then that the Spirit of God works a miracle of comprehension in our lives. What a wonderful blessing that is. We must realize the importance then of being in harmony with the Lord as we study His Word. In the light of that, may we bow for a moment of prayer, please. Father, we're thankful today that You've given us this magnificent system of comprehending Your Word. We could never do this alone. It cannot be done in the energies of the flesh. This book is such a magnificent book. We realize that we're not to read it as any other book. We're to read it as God's book, the message from God to our hearts and lives. And we realize also again today that we cannot properly understand without the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so we're thankful that we have that magnificent opportunity and privilege of looking upon these words, understanding that the Spirit of God is interpreting and directing and guiding us, and we are thankful for it. This is outside of ourselves, and so we are thankful today that we're privileged once again to be here for that specific purpose of advancing spiritually, of growing in grace and knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ. We pray that You'll bless us in these moments of study. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Ephesians 5:17, So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. On the screen you see Ephesians 5:16. We're going to spend just a few moments in exegetical study, and then we'll draw conclusions from this magnificent verse. If you'll notice that the first word is the word redeeming, a long Greek word, as you can see. It is an interesting word, in my opinion, because of the fact that it is a command by the Spirit of God through the Apostle Paul to the Ephesian believers, and I believe it is to us. Redeem the time. because the days are evil. Let's take a look at that word redeem for just a few moments. You'll notice that it is a present middle participle. You'd say, oh, preacher, why are you doing that to us again? I'm doing it because you need it, because we all need it. And this is telling us that since it's a present tense, this is continuous action. Every believer has the responsibility of continually, every day, redeeming the time, purchasing the time, because the days are evil. The second thing that I see in this verb is that it is a middle voice which says that the subject participates in the action. And when it's positive, it'll be a benefit. If it's negative, it will not be a benefit. And this is a positive because it says if we're redeeming the time, we're going to be benefited thereby. And then, of course, the emphasis is upon the circumstances that you and I face. As we live from day to day and our lives on the earth at the longest are extremely short. Let's look, though, at the meaning of the word redeem. It is a unique word. It's made up of two words. One of those is the prefix or the preposition, which is ek and means out of. And the next part of the word, which means to buy. And so if you want to put this down, it means a payment of a price to recover. It means a ransom. It means a payoff. It means to buy out. It means to purchase. It means to rescue. It means to buy back. It actually means, because of the historical background of this word, it means to go to the marketplace and there make a purchase. But interesting enough, the interesting thing about this is it means to go to a marketplace and buy and purchase a slave and set that slave free. Now, there's the emphasis that we need to see today. And that is that the Lord Jesus Christ, the pre-existent Christ, left heaven's glory and came to this earth for the specific purpose of going to the cross so that he might purchase the slaves and get us free. Beautiful, magnificent emphasis. So let me repeat some of the synonyms. It means, ek means away from. The other rest of the word means to buy. And so it means a payment of a price to recover. It's a word that could be translated a ransom, a payoff, a buyout, a purchase, to rescue, to buy back, and to go to the marketplace and purchase there a slave and set that slave free. Redeeming the time. We're going to spend a little moment or two on the word time there. Let me also remind you that in the past we've looked at this word. It is the word kairos, which is K-A-I-R-O-N here, but it is in the nominative case, K-A-I-R-O-S. We've learned in the past that there are two words for time that we want to emphasize. One of those is chronos, from which we get our English word chronology, and that means a succession of time, continuation of time. But the word kairos is entirely different. If I were you, I would write this definition down. Let me just tell you that the word chronos is quantitative, and kairos is qualitative. Now, probably you need to hear that several times and let it sink in, because chronos is quantitative, where kairos is qualitative. Now, let me see if I could give you a simple little definition, and I believe this will help us all, that the word kairos means a time between and afterward of an undetermined time in which something special happens. I've written this out because I want to read it over several times. The word kairos, qualitative, is a time between a time of undetermined time in which something special happens. Now that to me is very, very important because it emphasizes the fact that you and I have on this earth some time. Now all of us understand that we're dealing with time from a chronological standpoint, succession of time. We're here today, and we trust we'll be here tomorrow, and that's a continuation of time. But this word is not an emphasis upon the quantitative time, the continuation of time. It's an emphasis upon qualitative, the moment we're living at this very present time. So it's a time between and afterward of an undetermined time in which something special happens. So what I'm trying to emphasize is that right now something special is happening. And what is happening that is special right now is that God's word is being proclaimed, and when we're in harmony and in fellowship and we're listening to the proclamation of the word, it is a time that is qualitative. It's a time that is powerful. It is a time when something great is happening. Do you see that? Beautiful. So it says, redeem the time. Now, why are we to redeem the time? Well, he goes on to explain it. Because the days are evil. Now, I want you to understand that I have drawn some conclusions. One of the conclusions is that it's good for there to be repetition. I understand that you and I have sinful natures. I understand that we sin. If you haven't sinned this week, I want you to know that I'm extremely proud of you, but really, in reality, that's not true. You have. Sin is any mental, verbal, or overt act that violates the standards and integrity of God. This simply means that every person in this auditorium and every person listening to my voice today, you have to understand that you have a sinful nature and you sin. What is sin? Sin is any mental, verbal, or overt act that violates the standards and integrity of God. Now, I need also tell you that we need to understand that there is an emphasis in the Word of God that there is not only sin, but there's evil. And we've analyzed that in the past, and we'll put it on the screen for you to see now, that evil is the purpose, policy, and modus operandi of Satan. We're going to analyze this more in detail as we move along. Some of you are saying, well, we've had enough evil over the last few weeks. Well, you're going to get some more, because it's important for us to be able to comprehend what really is being presented. Evil, then, is a system. It's a system of thinking. We're going to put now this on the screen, and if you already have this copied, that's fine. If you do not have it copied, you ought to do this morning. Evil is a system of thinking that opposes divine truth, both in belief and behavior. We're going to analyze that again for a few moments, and let's just spend a little time there with these words. Evil is a system of thinking that opposes divine truth, both in belief and behavior. Now, I'm going to put the verse back on the screen for a few seconds and let you look at it. I want you to see that there's a word here for evil. And you're looking at it carefully. If you can't see it very well from where you're sitting, look on the back of your bulletin and go to the word evil and see what the word is. We've already emphasized the fact that this passage of Scripture is saying, the Spirit of God is saying, that you and I have a responsibility to purchase, redeem the time, because the days were evil. If we're to purchase the time, what would be the means by which we could do that? And all of us understand, I believe, by now, that we purchase time while we're in fellowship with the Lord. If we are right related to Him, and we are in proper relationship to Him, then we're purchasing the time. We're redeeming the time. But the Scripture says, why should you do that? And the Scripture goes on to say, because the days are evil. You're looking at the word evil now. But let's look at it again from this standpoint. There are three words that we've emphasized in the past. You already have this down. This is a recapitulation. There's the Greek word kakos for evil, which means opposed to the goodness and character of God. There is the Greek word phalos, the last one that you see on the screen. It is a word which means opposed to divine good. When you translate that word, it is the word which is translated excrement. It is translated dung. It is the Greek word skubalon. It is the word meino. Most of you have heard these words enough that you understand what we're talking about when we use the Greek word phalos. It means that which is opposed to divine good. But you've been looking at the verse that we have on the screen, Ephesians 5:16, and we find that it is the middle word that's used here. It's the word poneros. And I'll put it on the screen again for you in case you're not seeing it. P-O-N-E-R-A-I, which is the word poneros, P-O-N-E-R-O-S. Let's see what it means. It means opposed to divine viewpoint. Opposed to divine viewpoint. We all understand that there are two major ways of seeing things. One of those is seeing them from God's vantage point. The other is to see from a man's vantage point or a woman's vantage point or a young person's vantage point from a horizontal vantage point. So it says, redeem the time because the days are evil. And the word poneros is used, which means opposed to divine viewpoint. Now, when I thought about the message for today, I got to thinking about the fact that there's a tremendous amount of erosion taking place. Are you familiar with the word erosion? If I mention the word erosion, what does that do to you? Does it bring anything into your mind? Erosion. You might find it interesting to look it up sometime and see what all is described when you find the word erosion on the internet. There is, of course, an emphasis upon erosion from the standpoint of water washing the land away, even to the point of a house being tumbled down a precipice because of the fact that over a period of time, water and rain has caused an erosion, and the water has come in, and the sand has come in and washed away. And finally, and we've seen this happen, perhaps you've seen it, where the houses would tumble down. Erosion. And I thought, my word, what a word. Erosion of the soul. Erosion of the soul. 1 John 3:8 says, when anyone commits a sin, he's become the agent of the devil. And I thought, wow, that's erosion, isn't it? Erosion of the soul. 1 John 3:8. When anyone commits a sin, that person has become an agent of the devil. Now, you and I understand this, but let me repeat. The old sin nature is usually the source of temptation, while volition is the source of sin. Now, that's not going to make a lot of meaning and a lot of sense to you if you're not really paying close attention. The old sinful nature, which all of us have, is usually the source of temptation. But volition is the source of sin. Let's draw a circle and put you in it. I think this is the best way that I can illustrate it. Let's put a circle and put you inside that circle. And inside that circle, you are in harmony. You're in fellowship with the Lord. And while you're in there, temptation comes. And you take a look at that temptation. It's alluring. It's enticing. It's very attractive. And you're standing there or sitting there, however the case may be, and the temptation is there. And you're analyzing that temptation. That temptation at that particular point of time is not sin. It's allurement. It's enticement. It's attractive. And so the old sin nature is the source of temptation. And you have that old sin nature, and you are attracted to that particular sin, whatever it is. We don't have to name anything now. Let's just say sin. Sin, as we all know, is defined as that which causes a person to miss the mark, to go astray, to lead astray. And so here you're standing, or here you're sitting, in fellowship with the Lord, and here comes this temptation. And the old sin nature is the source of that temptation. But stay with me. You have a decision to make. Volition. Choice. You can make a decision to reject. You can make a decision to oppose. You can make a decision to say no, or you can say, oh yeah, I think I'm gonna go that way. And that is a choice. That is a volition. That's when you make a decision to step outside of harmony with the Lord. When you've made a decision to go against God's plan. And that's the reason why the scripture says, when you do that, you become an agent of the devil. That's when erosion has taken place in your house. The spiritual house has done some tumbling. And that's tragic and sad. Our decision to sin puts us immediately into a system which is satanic, making us agents of the devil. His works can only be destroyed by us functioning inside that power sphere which is divine. In other words, that means in fellowship, in harmony, applying the truth. When I thought about this and the erosion of the soul, I jotted myself a note. We bring disaster upon ourselves when we are the products of bad decisions. You think about that. If you'll take a note in your mind and see yourself back in that fellowship circle, in harmony, in right relationship with the Lord, when that temptation is coming your way, whatever the temptation is, and here you're confronted with whether or not you're going to yield, and you make a decision that you're going to yield to that temptation, it's at that point that you begin to function within the satanic power sphere and not in the divine power sphere. And in doing that, you're bringing a great disaster upon yourself because of the bad decision. Hebrews chapter 5, write this please. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness. For that person is a babe, a tiny babe, a nursing babe, a napios in the scripture. That person is a tiny nursing baby. But then he goes on to say in Hebrews 5:14, solid food. I put this down as spiritual steaks. Solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern the difference between good, God's good, and evil, satanic thinking. Evil and degeneracy start always with the thought pattern. It's something that takes place in the mind. Evil is thought. You have to understand that. Walking in the Spirit and walking in the truth of God's Word is protection of the soul. In Matthew chapter 6, let me read it to you, verse 23, it says, if your eye is evil, your entire body will be full of darkness. Think about that. But if your eye is evil, your entire body will be full of darkness. And then this scripture, which all of us perhaps have memorized, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, so many of you would say, oh yes, that's the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. You know what I really believe? I believe that 1 Corinthians 13 is the Holy Spirit chapter. So you might want to put that one down. It's okay to say love chapter, but I believe it's the Holy Spirit chapter. Here's what it says. Love does not behave dishonorably, is not preoccupied with self, is not hypersensitive, does not think evil. Did you see that? In other words, all I'm trying to get over, and I hope and trust that I am, that there's a difference between sin and evil. Sin, we make mistakes. We sin against God. And God sent His Son to die on the cross to take care of sin. And when we admit it, He forgives us. But evil is something different than that. Evil is the thought pattern. It is that which is going on in your mind. Whatever it is that going on in your mind. And sometimes things continue to linger in your mind. And you have a problem with things that are harboring in your mind. It's evil. It is satanic thinking. I want you to see that. And it says here, If you're in love with the Lord and filled with the Spirit, you're not going to be behaving dishonorably. You're not going to be preoccupied with yourself. You're not going to be hypersensitive, because you have the ability to understand and see the difference between sin on the one hand and satanic thinking, evil, on the other hand. Be perceptive. A few weeks ago, I gave you some words. I said, retain and maintain the mind of Christ. Retain and maintain. And then I got off and got to thinking about that. And I failed you. I really did. I failed to give you the first word. So let me give those words to you now. Attain. Retain. Maintain. The mind of Christ. Please write this down and think about it. I had left off the main point. Attain. Retain. And maintain. These are not just words to be thrown away and not thought through. These are very important words. Attain. The mind of Christ. After you have spent years in the study of God's Word, you're attaining the thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're being able to see from a vertical divine viewpoint. Retain that. Don't let it slip. Don't let your spiritual house tumble off because of the erosion of your soul. Keep yourself properly related to the Lord. Retain the mind of the Savior. And then maintain. Maintain. Let me give you some scriptures very quickly. Proverbs 12:21. No evil happens to the righteous. I had to look at that for a while. What does it say? Proverbs 12:21 says, no evil happens to the righteous. Did you notice what this says? Redeeming the time, purchasing the time, buying back the time, ransoming the time. Be aware of the fact that you're to go to the marketplace and purchase a slave and realize that that slave is to be set free like you've been set free. No evil happens to the righteous ones. And then Psalm 37:17 says, the Lord sustains the righteous ones. I'm trying to give, what I enjoy is, and you all know this, that my cup of tea is the New Testament. You realize that? And I have difficulty with the Old Testament Hebrew. I have to admit that. I hesitate to admit that. But I enjoy Old Testament Hebrew words, but I have more difficulty with them than I do with the Greek. I just love the Greek. You probably know that. And so I have found out that the word evil is used over 600 times in the Word of God. Over 600 times the word evil is used. And so many of those words, it's used in the Old Testament. And I say, why is it in the Old Testament with all those Hebrew words? Psalm 37, that's Hebrew. But the Lord sustains the righteous ones. And I thought, oh my, how fantastic that is. The Lord sustains the righteous ones, the ones who are redeeming the time because the days are evil, those who are not allowing the erosion, the sands of the world to wash away, to mess up their spiritual house of the soul. And then I found Psalm 121, verse 7. Listen to this. The Lord will protect you from evil. He will guard your soul. That's Psalm 121, verse 7. And I thought, how fantastic that is. It's telling me the Lord is in the business of protecting me, my soul, your soul from evil. He will guard your soul. And then I looked at Proverbs 2, verses 11 and 13. The wise individuals are able to see evil They're able to see satanic thinking, and they run and hide from it. Now, I'm putting some of this in my own words, but I like it. I like sometimes when I put scripture in my own words, because I'm trying to utilize an explanation. The wise, the spiritually advanced, see evil, and they hide. But the stupid go on, and they're punished thereby. Now that's what it says. You're saying, where is that found? Proverbs chapter 2, 11, 12, and 13. The wise see the evil and runs away from it, hides. But the stupid goes on and is punished for it. On Wednesday night, 3 John verse 11. Beloved, do not be imitators of the evil, but be imitators of the good. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, that we may be delivered from perverse and evil individuals. For all believers do not have the truth. Every believer doesn't have the truth, but the Lord is faithful, and He will strengthen you and protect you from evil. 2 Thessalonians 3, 2 and 3. Now, some of you are not taking these verses down, but let me tell you something. One of these days, it may be tomorrow, or next Tuesday, or Wednesday, you're going to have yourself confronted with some things in life, and you're going to say, where was that the preacher said Sunday about this thing, about the evil? And you're not going to have it because you didn't take it down. 2 Thessalonians 3, 2 and 3, that we may be delivered from the perverse and evil individuals. For all believers do not have God's word. The Lord is faithful. He will strengthen you and protect you from evil. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 8, verses 2 through 5, says, if we're submitted to God's authority and to the laws of divine establishment, we're going to be protected from evil. Now, what I realize is that I find myself so captivated with enjoying these scriptures that sometimes I don't give you everything that I intended to. So let me give you a few points. Number one, evil is Satan's system by which he administers the rulership of this world. You can write this down the way you want to. Evil is Satan's system by which he administers the rulership of this world. In other words, Satan uses his influence to try to bring about the downfall of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Satan is in the business of trying to do. He's trying to bring the downfall of our Savior. But you know what? He's not able to do that. So in the light of the fact that he's not able to do that, here's what he's doing. He tries to turn as many people as possible away from the teachings of the Word of God. Did you see what I said? In other words, Satan knows that his battle with the Lord is not a winning battle. He really knows that. So in the light of the fact that he knows that, he realizes that the best thing he could do is mess us up. To get us to be individuals with the erosion of the soul. What we think is very important. We see things either from God's viewpoint or we're seeing it from man's viewpoint. Evil is often a distortion of God's truth, or a distortion of the laws of divine establishment. In other words, Satan's original sin was the distortion of truth. And so today, Satan's desire is to mess up in the thinking of individuals' truth. Are you with me? Are you seeing this? That's the reason why churches that are not presenting the truth make Satan happy. He's happy when there is a continual erosion of the souls of individuals by what they're not getting when they're not getting the truth. Evil comes, and let me list this quickly. Evil comes in many forms. Socialism, political internationalism, government interference, distortion of the law, bribery in government, reducing the military, sociology, public welfare, altruistic philanthropy, religion, legalism. Now, have I named a bunch of things? My wife says, take each one of those, please, and just spend some time there. Evil includes restriction of human freedom for the greater good, distortion of law to solve social and economic problems, interference of government in business and free enterprise. On and on we could go. I'm just trying to tell you that it's happening over and over and over again. In today's bulletin, there's an insert. What I'd like to do is just preach that. Because it's good. It's really good. And in the next session, I just may do it. No, not really.
Preach it, brother.
Preach it, brother. Okay. On the screen, you see Ephesians 5:16. Do you see what our responsibility is? Do you see what our responsibility is? Redeem, purchase the time. Every second that God gives you and me, every second, every minute, is a minute that's God-given. And we're responsible for utilizing that time properly because the days are evil. May we bow for a moment of prayer, please. Father, thank you so much today for the challenge of these magnificent verses of Scripture. We realize that evil is Satan's system by which he administers rulership of this world. We realize that he uses influence to try to bring about the downfall of our Savior, but he's not able to do that. So then he turns his attention to all of us to try to get us to go in the direction away from the truth of God's Word. That's the reason why we're studying this subject, to know that human solutions will never solve the problems. We realize that any effective solution to a human problem is a divine solution. We've said this before, and we realize that we were wrong when we said God has the answer. It should be God is the answer for every problem, every difficulty in life. And especially those who hear the message who've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. That's a great problem. If they do not accept Jesus Christ, the eternal results are bad. But if they will accept Jesus Christ as Savior, the eternal results are good. And so we pray that there will be those who hear this message who will accept you even now. Because the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. You don't say anything you don't mean, and so we're thankful that any person who will trust you in simple faith will be saved. And we thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.